So first I must thank you for your willingness to do this interview. Is this just because you're a kind guy, or was this promoter maybe a bit more persistent than others?
I think this was a persistent promoter. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually know about the interview until this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was printed on a book. We have a book, like agendas, and it was in there. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you maybe for just introduce yourself so that listeners will know who is who? You play the drums, Brian Chippendale?
Yeah, my name is Brian Chippendale and I play the drums.
I'm Brian Gibson and I play the bass.
Mm-hmm. So maybe the crucial question to start with, do you guys like to get up early or does Steve Albini like to sleep late? Do you know about this? At the ATP he said it was the best alarm clock when you played. I say it in John Peel's doorstep.
Yeah. That was still like at noon. We played at like noon, so I think mm-hmm. everyone was sleeping pretty late.
I saw Merzbo on Friday. His music was basically so loud that you could almost physically hear this sound with this texture and noise. He was playing this guitar-like thing, which was just adding to the noise. And it was basically just this loud experience. So are you more interested in this part of noise music, or maybe the structural and compositional part, which applies more to you? Just this pure energy?
I like the feeling of when low frequencies vibrate and you can feel it in your body. Like it's just an interesting way to experience sound. But it's definitely that's a small part of it for me. I feel like there's a lot of other things that I'm interested in. But when we're playing shows, I always feel like if I can feel what's coming out of my speakers, I feel better about what we're playing. Mm-hmm. But I've had the experience where that super subsonic, like low stuff swallows up a lot of the details in the higher frequencies. Mm-hmm. And I'm much more interested in being coherent and having some of the musical ideas be clear.
And so this is the thing you look in your own music or in other bands as well? I mean, what is about noise music that you maybe like the best?
Well, I'm not so much, I wouldn't say I'm like a noise music fan, even though a lot of people consider us noise music. Mm-hmm. Usually when I watch bands, I'm listening to it maybe in the same way that you look at a painting, like I'm thinking about the decisions, all the creative decisions that the artists are making, you know, the choices of instruments, the choices of composition, and I think it's interesting when you're overwhelmed with sound, but that alone isn't interesting to me without something else.
Music like Merzbo, do you like this sort of thing, or did you maybe experience his live set yet?
Yeah, I've seen him a few times. I saw him in the late 90s. He was doing like a lot of distortion pedals, and he actually had a dancer with him, which was pretty cool.
What sort of dancer?
This guy is like a half-naked Japanese man doing these like really physical, wild dances. And then I saw him a couple years ago. We played with him in Japan, and he was at a laptop, kind of like sitting with his legs crossed, looking kind of bored at a screen. And I wasn't so into that. But I mean, the sound was fine, but the show was...
You played quite a bit of gigs in Japan. We have perception that they have quite a big scene or strong scene in this noise music. That is just our perception here in Europe and maybe in the States, and it really isn't that strong when you come in Japan. Or
pretty strong. I mean, there's a real solid music scene in Japan, but it's not huge. I mean, everybody knows each other, and you know, it seems like they know each other across genre boundaries, like noise people and more rock people. And
right.
There's a lot of rock in Japan.
Mm-hmm. You maybe know the band All Girl Trio, Nisen and Mondai.
Yeah, did you hear about this? We played with them once too.
Oh, you played?
Yeah, three women.
Because they just put out their debut and it's quite wonderful. Did you hear it maybe?
I haven't heard it.
No. Because they name you as one of the influences. So how do you think about these bands naming you as influences?
Flattering when the band is good and not so flattering when the band is bad, I guess. It's fun.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. We've been doing it for a long time, so at this point, a lot of people have...
What band did you at the beginning maybe find inspiration in? Was it also the Japanese maybe Ruins and Boredoms?
Yeah, Boredoms for me was pretty exciting. I saw them for the first time right before I started playing with Brian, and I was thinking about them a lot, just because it was a completely new thing for me.
Were there maybe any American bands that you find inspiration in?
Right now?
No, I mean at the beginning, for now, maybe.
Did you like Primus?
So when I was in high school, I was...
That was a joke. No Primus.
No, it wasn't a joke, but I went to a high school that was kind of out of the way, so I didn't really see any band. I wasn't exposed to much music except for what was on the radio and MTV and stuff. So when I went to college, where I met Brian, I started being exposed to a lot more interesting stuff. And Boredoms happened to be one of like the first crazy bands that I had ever seen. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a really mind-blowing thing. But before that, in high school, I mean, I was just listening to like classic rock and grunge and stuff like that. Just basically whatever was thrown at me on TV.
So we spoke a bit about the scene in Japan. You come from Providence, which from our perspective also has quite a strong scene. But I remember reading that you don't want to identify yourself within this scene. I mean, you don't like the idea of scene, maybe. Individuals doing this sort of similar music, but not following the same idea, maybe. Mm-hmm. Did this change over the years, or?
No, I like that. I've always enjoyed identifying us as a band from Providence. Mm-hmm. I think I like kind of that nationalistic sort of scene-oriented stuff.
Mm-hmm. What's like scene nowadays compared to maybe 10, 15 years ago?
15 years ago, I guess, which is when we started.
Yeah.
Providence was kind of scattered. There were some bands that had kind of no relation to each other. And then I would say like about 10 years ago, things sort of started to gel. Like bands coming out of the school started to meet the bands that were like local rock bands. And things were crossing over and it was really fun. And then in the last couple years, it's still fun, but it's become... There's not as many places to play right now. It's become kind of like small little pockets of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might be at a low, you know, it kind of goes up and down. But with the tide right now, it's like a little bit on the lower side, excitement-wise. Still good, though.
The same with new artists. Do they still emerge regularly, or was maybe more of them in the past?
In town? In our town? There's a lot of like solo stuff going on. Less bands right now, more like solo, maybe
electronic,
noise people or electronic or guitar. I mean, just all across the board. I think, you know, specifically noise music has kind of dried up a little bit. And people are sort of sick of it in the States. Or at least people that aren't... There's like new noise people all the time, but it's sort of like, you know, like with grunge or something. Like grunge got popular across the world maybe 10 years after it was already dead at its origin.
Right.
And like, I feel like noise music is in the same sort of pattern. Like it's become popular here and there across the world, but like the source...
Is there a way out of this?
Just sort of doing whatever. I mean, one thing about us is we don't really identify as noise music. I think occasionally people do, but we're like a rock band.
Rock music.
Yeah, we have like structured songs and some improvisation, but it's like drums and bass and rhythm and, you know, so...
Noise music is, I've always felt like it's a really, I think a lot of different people might have different perceptions about what is noise music and what isn't.
I mean,
it's a lot, I think
not directly noise music, but maybe noise rock music. Is this
right.
Something?
Yeah. But I think sometimes when you hear something that's noisy and nondescript, it gets put into that category.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, is there something... concise? Is there a set of rules that describe what noise music is? Or
depends on who you're talking to, I think. If you're talking to Merzbow and like some of the noise guys, it'd be like, you know, lack of rhythm or lack of repetitive pattern.
Yeah,
or
probably totally depends on perception.
Yeah.
Individually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is your first tour now in the Eastern Europe. Did you play in any of these places before, maybe?
Not this far east.
What's the experience like? Did you have any special things happen to you in this?
We had to apply for the ATA carnet. That was new. And pay like 350 euros so we could go into Croatia. That's like a new experience. It was funny. Last night we played in Croatia in Zagreb. It sort of felt, you know, it felt like a new place, but it felt like a place, you know, there was a... I think 250 people or so there, and they reacted in a way that was sort of similar, so it felt comfortable. It's strange how you can go really, you can drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and go further and further, and encounter situations that are sort of similar.
It's surprising how many people know. I mean, there's a lot of people that show up at our shows, and there's people that recognize us, and there's people that know the songs. And I know we don't, our records don't really get out to some of these places, so it's all the internet. It's definitely it makes me happy.
This
is
probably
like
the Fungi Fru or Tomorrow Parties in these bigger festivals.
Maybe so.
Because I think many people attend this, even in this part.
People seemed really happy last night, just in general though. I don't know if Zagreb is that kind of town, but
it's your music, it makes people happy, so it can be a big surprise, I think. So you were saying about the similarities, but in the past I talked to many electronic musicians who, Europeans who play in the States, and they say that Americans maybe don't feel these roots of electronic music, and then don't react in the same way, isn't they just stand there and stare. So is this maybe the opposite with rock, which is based in America, and when you come in Europe, you get a different reaction maybe compared to American crowd?
We get the occasional stand there and stare over here for ourselves. I don't know, if for us it's kind of like it's goes back and forth, doesn't seem to matter what country or... I mean, we've been, you know, we've had wild shows in the States and boring shows in the States and wild shows in Europe and boring shows in Europe.
So on that DVD, The Power of Salad and Milkshake, it's only the best shows, because the crowd is really going wild in those...
Yeah, I mean, they went through a lot of footage. They shot videos at every show we played on that tour, and then they went back and they selected all the most interesting stuff.
So maybe what songs do you play on this tour? Is it still the Hyper Magic Mountain, or do you play any new songs or ideas for songs maybe?
A little bit of new stuff. And a little bit
of... almost half and half.
Yeah, and we're playing songs from every record still. It's mostly new stuff in the last record.
How do you approach in creating these new songs? Do these... are these ideas that emerge at your live gigs, or do you, when you stop touring, you just go in, when you want to record new stuff, you go in the studio and start recording new stuff?
We're using this tour as a sort of training to like get some new stuff down, and we're going to record right when we get back. But our new stuff, most of our music arrives out of just playing. We just play together lots and lots and tape everything, record everything, and then go back and listen to stuff and try to pull the most interesting sections out. And then we usually take it on tour, change it around a little bit as we go, and then record it. So we have like four new sections of structured new stuff, and then maybe one or two sections of improvisational new stuff that we're doing right now in the set.
So maybe you're thinking about the new album.
Yeah. We're closing in on finishing a new record.
So you usually start playing at gigs right after the band that opens for you ends. I mean, you probably see some of these bands, so I imagine you see quite a bit of music. Was on this tour anything, some particular band you really enjoyed?
Last night was pretty interesting.
Was it a Croatian band?
Yeah, a Croatian band. Oh my god, the name is... it has already escaped me. Something Wolf? No, oh my god.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, is the music the same? The promoter speaks similar bands to you, to your aesthetic, or do...
Well, we played with this band Y the other day.
Why?
The pop band. That was quite different.
Pop band? What sort of pop?
Yes, they're sort of like indie hip-hop pop. Like kind of, you know, really light, musically interesting pop. But the promoter was actively trying to like cross genres and bring in people. And, you know, maybe it worked.
Did they build up the atmosphere?
We played before them.
Oh.
So I think kind of we played and, you know, then some people, I don't know. It was kind of like there were two atmospheres, sort of.
Yeah, two bands cancel each other out because people that were there to see us weren't interested in them, and people that were there to see them weren't too interested in us. And it
didn't work out.
It didn't entirely work out. There might have been some people that discovered something that they didn't expect that they liked, but I don't think
you'd have to be a pretty serious music lover.
Yeah.
And like to really embrace the two different styles. It was quite different.
So I read somewhere that these tours encounter personal differences. Are there any musical differences that you find also?
Maybe between tours.
Because even for normal people, not musicians, when you spend lots of time with someone, you find differences and maybe arguing starts or
right,
something.
Differences between us, musically?
Yeah, between you two. Are you really compatible musically?
Good question.
I feel like it's almost like we don't always have time to get to that, because we're always, every night the sound is so different, and there's always like a little bit of struggle with just like understanding what your half of the band is doing or something. Mm-hmm. That I mean, you know, maybe it sounds sad that way or something, but it's very rare that we even get to the point where we're like really openly discussing musical ideas while we're playing. We're just like, it's almost like it's sort of survival every night. Mm-hmm. So it's just like if we get through the show, play the songs, you know, and are still breathing at the end, like it feels mm-hmm. like it's a good experience, and
right.
then we can talk about a little bit about what happened after the fact. But it, mm-hmm. there's not a whole lot of time.
I feel like sometimes we have we're different with length. I feel like I'm usually ready to stop things a little before you are.
Yeah.
In general, like even on even with records or anything, like this, we have like a length difference.
Yeah, sometimes I like to keep going. Well, there's certain things. I know that, I mean, if we want to get into details, which we don't need to. Yeah, sometimes like there's a point in the set where at the end, it's like this rock song, and like, yeah, I kind of like continuing it on, like going back into it. Mm-hmm. And I can always look and see Brian like pretty much ready to be done, and I'm just like, one more time, let's go. So there is a little.
So there is improvisation involved in your session.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing.
A lot of our things are like, well, there's a structure there, and then there's like a, it has sort of like an open end to it. It can go wherever it needs to go by the end.
So maybe can we judge the musical differences between you by your side projects, The Wizards and Big Bass and Mind Flayer?
Maybe. One thing that's pretty different between us, and it's hard to really pin these things down, they're kind of intangible, but I when I'm collaborating with Rich in Wizards, mm-hmm. I'm thinking a lot about like his style, and I'm definitely treating it like a, I don't even know how to describe it, but I feel like when I do collaborations with people, I'm always really changing myself a lot. Like I do mm-hmm. a lot of things to like try to make something out of what the other person's doing. Mm-hmm. I like playing that game, but and I feel like you just maybe more take a direct like leading role or something in your projects.
Well, I mean, my solo project, there's no collaboration, so. And then Mind Flayer is, the thing about Mind Flayer is that he's actually the whole sound is built off responding to the drums. I don't really have like a, I don't have a huge choice. I haven't really, it's funny, I don't collaborate that much.
You recorded some drumming for York's last album.
Yeah.
How did this come about? Did Chris Corzano maybe introduce?
No, it was through ATP. Uh-huh, it was like, ATP. Like kind of the production manager for ATP is really good friends with this guy Mark Bell that she works with all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think they were just showing her videos of stuff at ATP. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she saw it.
He showed me, I think the first time I saw you, it was also Mark Bell who showed me.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah. But I thought it was Chris Corsano, because I know he's a big fan of yours as well, so.
Yeah, we're friends, Chris uh-huh. and I, so. I think it was at the same time she was introduced to both of us, and she was, like, interested in trying to get us mm-hmm. in on that.
Was the idea that you're going only to be on one song from the beginning? Or?
No. I mean, she came, I went to New York for a day, near the end of her whole, like the album was pretty much recorded, and I just kind of like listened to everything once and then played drums over maybe 7 or 8 songs, and mm-hmm. then she just pulled out, you know, this one, the one
I
song.
I think I heard some of these studio recordings.
Oh, really? Yeah, so it was the one song I played really calmly on.
Right. So maybe what did you think of this song? The
new one?
Yeah.
It sounds
well. There's a new one.
Oh.
Oh, the yeah,
the one on the last album.
Well, I mean, it was interesting for me to hear it. He told me a lot about the whole process that he went through, and it was surprising to me. I would have thought if I was hiring Brian to do whatever I wanted him to do on a project, I would be hiring him because he has all this intensity and energy, and like he's pretty open-ended and free-form the way he plays in this really interesting way. He's got a really interesting style, and I don't think she, for that particular song, really used a lot of his strength. But there's a newer song that sounds a little more like it's going in a direction that is using his playing. But yeah, it sounds like he did a lot of crazy stuff, and she didn't, mm-hmm. she didn't really use it.
That seems like her thing, though. She like gets a lot of people in, and they do
just
stuff, and then she really just uses. You know, she. You're not I didn't collaborate with her. I like was working. You know, I. Mm-hmm. I was just. We're just giving her things to work with,
mm-hmm.
and then she did her thing. She had an agenda, I think, from the beginning.
So maybe if she gave you an offer to produce her new album, would you do it, or do you maybe consider Lightning Bolt just a thing between the two Bryans?
If she wanted to produce a Lightning Bolt?
Or if no, we wanted to produce the York album? Oh, man. I mean, it'd be. I think it would be fun to play with her, but we're not going to hold our breath.
So maybe you've been around for 14 years now, so how do you see yourself compared to your beginnings? Did something in particular change, maybe?
Steady, kind of like slight metamorphosis from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Does the musical enthusiasm start to fade with years, or do you get more interested in
that? I don't think the musical enthusiasm faded at all. It becomes tougher to, like... I mean, one thing, like, for the first, I don't know, so many years, like, the melody wasn't even a part of the project whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I think Mr. Gibson has like added all sorts of new melodies in that kind of only blossomed in the second half of our career or whatever. It's just as fun as ever really to play. It becomes more of a struggle just to locate ideas that are new. That's the biggest. A lot of bands I think will put out album after album after album, and it's kind of like there's that song and this kind of song and this kind of song and this kind of song, and every album kind of has the representative of a certain kind of song they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we probably fall into the same trap to some extent, but we're like really actively trying to get to some new place for mm-hmm. each record, yeah. somewhere on there.
Yeah, I feel like I'm, as I get older, I want to find a music that just like, or I want us to be playing a kind of music that is never changes, or I could play my whole life and never feel like it's attached to my age or something. Now that it's just clear that I don't know, a lot of musical impulses when you're younger come from just your body chemistry. I feel like there's like hormonal things happening that just like give you certain kinds of aggression and desires and stuff that just make you play music a certain way. But I feel like it's very close to all these other deeper feelings that you just have being a human, like these kind of more ecstatic excitement for life that never, those things don't change. And for me, I want to make sure that personally I'm not like setting myself up to be making a kind of music that's just solely connected to something that's changing and something that I won't have for my whole life. So that's, I like the idea of like just searching for something that's sustainable and like something I can always do, and it'll always be satisfying for the same reason.
Does this reflect in your visual works as well? Do you still both work in visuals? Do you see this more as a refuge for getting away from music when you get back from tours? Or?
Not really. I mean, when I get back from tour, I'll just keep making music, and it'll be nice because instead of sitting in the car driving all day, we can make art or do something else again. Touring kind of cancels out other aspects of your life. But they really coincide for me at home, making music and art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they feed each other to some extent,
mm-hmm.
especially as a drummer, because like, as a drummer, it's almost like a physical, it's just like a workout section of your day or something. It has sort of a musical byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
So it propels your energy forward, you know, beyond when you stop playing.
We're running a bit short on time,
okay.
So maybe one last question. Being Lightning Bolt, have you ever struck a tree?
Have we ever run off? What's the most damage Lightning Bolt's ever done?
Will you be needing a fridge after tonight's show?
Maybe.
Maybe we'll just.
I might need an oxygen tank. Do you know if it's another? One issue we run into on this tour is just in the States, smoking's been banned. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like after so much time of not playing in smoky atmospheres, our body just can't handle it anymore. So, and the clubs have been really, really smoky. So, yeah, maybe a fridge with like oxygen being pumped into it.
I think tonight is going to be smoky.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. It's amazing.
Don't smoke at the show tonight.
Okay. So maybe this is the last thing you can say, not to smoke at the night show. Would you maybe like to add anything else again?
Well, we'll see how it goes. It's always there's always a surprise every night.